This is class number 13 in the Econ 111 Economics course. Your assignments for Chapter 19 and extra credit work associated with it are due today. We had mentioned in a previous class resources 5, 6, and 7 listed in Exhibit 1 that help prepare students who want to try to take the AP exam in macroeconomics or microeconomics or both. You should already be going through Barron's or Princeton Review's books that prepare students for taking the AP economics exams if you are planning to take the AP economics exams. These books also have sample AP economics exams which you will want to try. In addition, resources 5 and 6 provide sample exam questions prepared by the College Board, which you will want to try. Finally, you should read exam information in resources 5 and 6 listed in Exhibit 1. In this class and the next class, we shall be going over miscellaneous topics that may be covered on the AP Economics exams, but have not been covered much in previous classes for those who may be taking one or both of the AP Economics exams. For those who will not be taking the AP Economics exams, it gives you a preview of sundry topics that will be covered if you take economics courses in college. So let's go over some miscellaneous economics information associated with macroeconomics first. At Exhibit 29, you will see various formulae associated with GDP, or gross domestic product. The first formula shows how GDP is calculated using the expenditures approach. The second formula shows how GDP is calculated using the income approach. And the third formula shows how per capita GDP is calculated. Then there are assorted formulae showing how GNP, national income, personal income, and disposable personal income are calculated. In the U.S., the Bureau of Economic Analysis within the U.S. Commerce Department calculates GDP on a quarterly basis. At Exhibit 30, you will see various formulae associated with inflation and unemployment. Notice the two measures often used in calculating inflation, the CPI and the GDP deflator. Also notice the official inflation rate as calculated by the U.S. government. The nominal interest rate charged on loans consists of two components, the real interest rate plus the expected inflation rate. In the U.S., the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports unemployment statistics. Exhibit 30 shows how the unemployment rate is calculated. There are various classes of unemployed, and these classes were discussed in your textbook. It should be noted that there is one class of unemployed workers, or one class of unemployed that does not show up in the unemployment statistics, the so-called discouraged workers or hidden unemployed. These are the unemployed that have simply given up looking for work. To be considered unemployed for the labor statistics, one has to be out of work but still looking for a job. At Exhibit 31, you will see various formulae associated with money and banking. For instance, it gives the definition of currency, M1 and M2, which are all measures of money supply. It also shows the formula for the money multiplier. And this particular formula is used to calculate how much money is added to the money supply if there is a given reserve requirement. It is, as one can see here, the money multiplier is equal to 1 divided by the reserve requirement. And this multiplier is the case because when the Federal Reserve puts money into the economy, let's say by giving money putting money in for a particular party, that party does not simply sit on the money, but rather that party deposits the money in a bank, and the bank in turn loans out a portion of that money to borrowers, and then those borrowers in turn deposit the money, and then the banks where they deposit the money in turn loan them a lot of the money out. So that is why the money multiplier is necessary, to take into account how the money supply multiplies from just what is initially put in by the Federal Reserve to an even greater amount. One should notice in this next formula on Exhibit 31 that the change in money supply, therefore, equals the money multiplier times the initial deposit. At Exhibit 32, you will see various formulae associated with the topic of economic growth. Economists often attribute two general factors affecting economic growth: resource availability and productivity of those resources. Resources, or factors of production, include land, labor, and capital. Land, for economic purposes, consists of natural resources, and not simply, just land. It really, that category includes natural resources in terms of whether it be oil or natural gas or so forth. The category land consists of all of these various types of natural resources. Capital is the term economists use for plant and equipment. And of course, as mentioned earlier, third category, or third type of resource or factor of production, is labor. Now, in Exhibit 32, you will see that there are examples of increasing resource availability. How can resource availability increase? It gives some of the ways which resource availability can increase. Some examples cited here: discovery of new natural resources, growth of the labor force, or growth of the capital stock. So any of these different means can generate increased resource availability, and that in turn generates economic growth. Now, as mentioned, not only does increased resource availability generate economic growth, but also increased productivity increases economic growth. And Exhibit 32 shows some examples of how productivity can be increased. One example cited is more capital per unit of labor. Another is technological progress. Another is better educated and trained workforce. And another is ethical progress in the labor force. So, again, the determinants of economic growth are typically cited are increased resource availability and increased productivity. Notice as well in this Exhibit 32 that there are a number of definitions related to productivity that are provided, and also the very definition of economic growth. And economic growth is defined typically as the growth of output, usually measured by percentage change in real GDP. So that is Exhibit 32. Now in Exhibit 33, there are various formulae associated with foreign exchange. This includes for the current account balance, the so-called balance of trade, the capital account balance, and then the balance of payments of a nation. So those are all definitions that you want to make sure you understand and learn. A lot of this material we have covered as far as international trade and exchange in both the textbook and in previous lectures. So that summarizes briefly the material, some extra material related to macroeconomics that you want to make sure to have studied if you are going to be taking an AP Economics exam in macroeconomics. This now concludes class number 13 of the Econ 111 course.